At Farm to Table, we know how confusing healthcare is. We're here to simplify the healing process. We believe that healthcare should be simple. It should help people feel better. We listen deeply and take the time needed with each and every patient. We work together to develop a plan that fits into each patient's life and helps them to feel better faster. That's why we started the Table Talk podcast, to gather around the table with you, whether you're on your way to work, rocking a baby, or taking a stroll. We want to come together and learn about using a new healthcare approach that focuses on finding the treatment for the root cause of your symptoms. The journey for each person is unique, but together we can thrive. All right. Well, welcome to you all today to the Table Talk podcast. I'm so excited to sit down with some of my team, just really hone in today talking about nutrition. So I have three awesome functional medicine pharmacists with me today. I have Dr. Lauren Castle, who you met on our first podcast, if you listened to that. So Lauren, you want to say hi and a little bit about yourself?
Hello, I'm so excited to be back again talking about my second favorite topic that goes right hand in hand with functional medicine, and that is nutrition.
Awesome. Thank you. And then I also have Dr. Lindsay Dalton with us today, and she is a fellow Ohioan and is very passionate about nutrition. So Lindsay, do you want to give us a little background about how you got involved with nutrition?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like food has been kind of a thing for me my whole life. And my health took a big turn for the better when I found Whole30. I even became a Whole30 certified coach. And ever since then, my health has really improved. So nutrition has been huge for me in my transformation.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks so much. And I'm so excited to hear more from you today. And then lastly, Dr. Jessica Orlowski is here from Pennsylvania. And she is a co-owner of an independent pharmacy as well as part of our farm to table team. So thanks for joining us, Jessica. And yes. and you can share a little bit about, you know, your passion for nutrition as well.
Absolutely. I'm excited to be on here. And yes, so I own a pharmacy. I see a ton of patients with chronic diseases, and nutrition is very important to me because before I had kids, I felt like I made all the right choices. Now I don't so much, but I know how certain things affect me, like gluten, dairy, et cetera, and the benefits some people get with or without them, and that it's easy to make good choices to make you feel better just by what you eat.
Yes. Yes. And that's really why we're sitting around the table talking about this today, is that we really truly believe that food can be medicine, and that food is a foundational. What we put in our body is really signaling the body to either turn on or off various pathways. And so it can turn on those anti-inflammatory pathways, or it can turn on inflammation and feed further, you know, chronic disease development. And so Lauren, do you want to give us a little about your background? Lauren actually did a master's degree related to functional nutrition. And so I'll have her just explain a little bit to start about food is medicine and what that looks like.
Sure. So yes, whenever I started my functional medicine journey, I was really, it started around food. You know, I kind of talked about my husband's journey a little bit on our first episode, but we thought we were eating all the right things. And much like Jessica said, you know, things like gluten and dairy actually were feeding that inflammation that was driving all the symptoms that were showing up. And so one thing, whenever I went back and started studying and did the master's program at University of Western States, which is in nutrition and functional medicine, we really dove deep into what that phrase of food as medicine is talking about. You hear it thrown around pretty commonly in today's world, but what does that really mean? And so, like Melody said, if you think down to the biochemical level, the foods that we put in really do act like medicine, like drugs, in the sense that they are, as they are being absorbed and your body is using the different chemicals that are in the food, it is actually working much like a drug on different receptors or different pathways. And so often underestimate the power that food truly has. And I like to really talk to patients about how exciting that is, that the food you eat really does make such a huge difference. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time to see that. It's, you know, that's where kind of the difference is, because we think of drugs working very quickly in most cases, and having these very dramatic effects because they are so strong. But with food, when you give it time, you can very quickly see some of those results happening as well. And for some people, it happens very quickly. For others, it takes longer. But ultimately, food is extremely powerful, and it really does have the ability to reverse a lot of the chronic diseases that we see. And I'm sure we'll talk more about some specific examples of that in this episode.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. I think it's so cool, like looking down even into the data with like phytonutrients. And if you think about like the eating the rainbow conversations that we have, how much, you know, the different, polyphenols and different things like that, that are different colors in your, you know, quercetin in your apples and, you know, other things that are antioxidants, are like how much of an impact that they can have, so much so that we've taken some of those things and turned them into supplements because they're so powerful. And so there's lots of awesome things from our fruits and vegetables that we're consuming, and so much of what we call the standard American diet. So if you've never heard that term, the standard American diet, oftentimes the functional medicine community will actually refer to it as the SAD diet. So Lindsay, why don't you explain to us what the SAD diet is, or, you know, what we're talking about when someone refers to that?
Yeah. So when I think about the standard American diet, I'm thinking very carb heavy, very sugar heavy, not a lot of fruits and vegetables, fried foods. And I mean, we can even look at the food pyramid, and that biggest portion of the pyramid is carbohydrates. And we're told you have to eat so many carbohydrates in a day. And that's just not serving us at all.
Right, right. Yeah, I've had patients go to the hospital that are patients with type 2 diabetes, and the hospital will make them choose like a certain number of carbs. Like no matter if they want the carbs or not, they have to order it like on their tray because they're told they have to have this many carb servings. And then I've also had a patient that was a type 2 patient that also was pregnant. And she went to this high-risk OBGYN, and we had her doing really well on her regimen with like about 50 grams of carbs per day. And they were like, oh no, you need to eat 120 grams of carbs per day, because that's what some really old guideline says. But she was doing fantastic. Her blood sugars were all within range on the 50 grams a day. So it's just so frustrating when we have this like old school mindset, like you said, that's not serving us, or people aren't looking at like the new data or actually how the patient's responding to that. Like maybe the blood glucose goes up too much if we have X number of servings that were recommended 10 years ago for something. So, and I think the big thing too with that is like all of those like processed foods, you know, we talk a lot about processed foods and fried foods, and it's, you know, not even just like the food that it is, but the inflammatory oils and the additives to that food that sometimes are causing the problem. Like, I'll pick on like Chick-fil-A because I absolutely love them as a company and what they do for people, but come on, let's get the MSG out of the breaded chicken. Okay. Like how much information do we need about MSG? And I, you know, as a Christian, I'm like, okay, like we're doing a lot of awesome things for God, but we need to like serve our bodies too and like help get good nutrition there too. So if the Chick-fil-A folks are listening, I'd really like you to take the MSG out of that.
I saw they were advertising a kale salad.
Oh, great. So we've got kale salad to counteract it, but, and they do have grilled chicken and some other options for people, but it's just like the kind of things that as a big industry, we just have to start thinking about. But it's great that yes, the kale will help to decrease any inflammation caused by it. But anyways, So as far as other things about nutrition, Jessica, what's your biggest, you know, thing that you like to tell your patients about nutrition?
I'm going to go back to kind of where Lauren talked about food can do so many things, and you talking about the SAD diet, and I don't want to geek out on this too much, but it all starts with, yes, we have receptors in our bodies for this food, and food can be like a drug. So we actually have receptors in our gut for, I think it's like fats, like good fats, like fats, protein, and sugars. And the sugar ones are much more receptive. And if you think of the SAD, the standard American diet, there's so many hidden sugars that you might think you're making good choices, but there's hidden sugars in it. And it's basically then hijacking your brain and the dopamine pathway, which is like an addictive pathway. And so your body wants more sugar. So you lose your appetite and your taste for the good stuff and you want more sugar. So that's kind of, it's like a drug. Like the dopamine pathway is also affected by opioids and illicit drugs. So sugar hijacks our dopamine pathway also, and our body just wants more. So that's one of the big things that I tell my patients. It's like, it's just make little choices, because you're going to have cravings. You're going to want to eat a piece of cake or something like that, but just try to figure out your portions. Like, I'm only going to have one piece of cake, or I'm only going to have like this many cookies. So don't, especially a lot of my diabetic patients, they think that once they get diagnosed with diabetes, it's like the end all, they have to cut out like anything, in their words, good or like good right. for them or makes them feel good, but they don't have to. You just need to make more good choices than bad choices.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. And I think that's great advice. A lot of people need just like somewhere to start and somewhere to know that this, and I think the hard thing too, with some of this is like, there's so much psychology surrounding how we eat and what we eat, and even just like the reward system. Sometimes we learn when we're young, we're like rewarded with a treat that's food and sweet, and it has good memories. You're going back to the dopamine thing, like it you relive those memories of going for ice cream with grandma or going to do these things, or even just rewarding yourself after a hard day. Or people will do it because of stress. They'll start eating. I mean, I've got patients that are over 300, 400 pounds in my family medicine practice that some of them are eating because they were abused, and this is their comfort mechanism because of those past histories. So there's so much like we could unpack about nutrition and how, you know, that affects your health. I think one of the important pieces is if there is some disordered eating patterns, like that is, it's so important to have like a psychology professional or a counselor and professional on board too, with like helping someone figure out how this, because a lot of patients, even patients without significant needs for that, they need a coach. They need someone that helps them walk through like, how do I make this decision? Whether it's a health coach or a pharmacist or a nutritionist, like there's so much that you could do. And without sort of that guidance, that path, like it's hard to actually make that decision. Like, what diet should I choose, or what lifestyle change, we like to say, instead of that, we don't love the word diet because it's not a temporary thing. It's a lifestyle change and something that you're going to be doing for a long time, is incorporating these things. But one of the biggest things you can do is just start eating more vegetables. Like those non-starchy vegetables. Whenever I'm counseling a patient with type 2 diabetes for the first time, and that's what I keep talking about diabetes, but that's one of my specialties. But when I'm counseling them the first time, like I don't focus on what you can't eat, but I focus on what you can eat. And here is the page of every non-starchy vegetable that I want you to try, to make sure every meal you're eating something of this. And you know, sometimes I have people that are like, nope, never eating anything like that again. You know, it's like, okay, well, they're not really in that ready to change. And we talk a lot about at Farm to Table about, we're ready to work with you, but you also have to be ready to make those changes in your life, in your lifestyle. And so, but yes, incorporating more of those foods at meals and eating the rainbow, changing the colors up, those kinds of things can be really helpful. But sometimes we do get ourselves in the, this food's good, this food's bad. And it's not necessarily, we talk like that, you know, this food turns on things and this food turns off things. But there's also this whole like community aspect of eating as well. And like sitting down to the table and enjoying a dessert doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be dealing with a chronic disease, like because of those decisions. Because certainly there's room for that. And there's several, you know, ways to incorporate that. It's just, we have to get the majority of our food to be those good phytonutrients. So other thoughts you guys have as we've been talking about this?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's a couple of good points you brought up there. One being that on the one side, we want to have flexibility with food, right? We don't want to have it to be so restrictive that you can't sustain it. Mm-hmm. So I think what's important also to realize is that we're on a journey, right? So there's going to be some aspects of this that are true lifestyle changes, that maybe you give up pop for good and you never drink pop again. You know, yes, like a lot of people that. Make if that lifestyle choice.
And you're drinking pop, you just got to stop.
And
or for exactly. those who don't live in Ohio, soda.
Soda, yes, sorry. Us Ohioans are calling it pop over here. But soda, Coke, whatever you call it, according to that map thing that they have out there in the cyberspace. But thanks, Jessica. Go ahead, Lauren.
Yeah. So, you know, that's one example. But then other things, it might just depend on the individual person. And I think that came through as well, that it's really important to work with a dietitian or a certified nutrition specialist, someone who can really tailor a short-term program to you. So when we talk about using food as medicine, that aspect of it can be much more targeted and short-term. And so for some patients, you know, that might look like a month. For others, it might look like 6 months or a year, depending on, you know, what you're treating. But know that there is so much that your taste buds will actually adjust to as well. Yes. And I think Lindsay probably can speak about that, especially from the Whole 30 perspective. And it's amazing once you start to eat a little bit better and you start to make some of those shifts, things that you thought you would never eat actually will start to taste good. So I think seasoning foods and things like that also is really key. Learning some very basic cooking skills can also really help as well, just because, yeah, if you are just trying to eat a vegetable all by itself, very plain, it's probably not going to taste good. So there is a little bit of a learning curve, but I find if you try to make it fun and just Google a recipe for, you know, a particular vegetable that you want to try out, make it fun and find some flavors that you like, and it makes it so much easier. And then my other last tip to add, very similarly, if you are trying to increase your vegetable intake, I kind of stole this from Dr. Hyman as well. Take at least half of your plate and make that your leafy green vegetables or your non-starchy vegetables, because that way you're getting all that extra volume and fiber. And then you really don't have a ton of room for all those extra sugary types of foods or really starchy carbs. So that's kind of my other favorite tip to do.
Yeah, the portion plate is something we use pictures similar to that in diabetes education too. And I do, I circle the non-starchy vegetable side and then the other side really, you know, a little bit of protein, some healthy fats. And, you know, you can have some starches, you know, whether that's a sweet potato or, you know, we try to just get those starches from the complex carbs. And we're not going to dig too much into like our individual recommendations about diet because, or lifestyle change, because that's so individualized, like Lauren said, to you and your needs and what chronic conditions you do have. So our recommendations for someone with metabolic syndrome might be completely different than someone that's dealing with an autoimmune disease. You know, they might have similarities, but they might be a little bit different. So it's really important to, you know, work with someone that can help you identify the best path for you. And then, you know, we didn't talk yet about like, there's so many different nutrition approaches out there. And, you know, Lindsay, do you want to say anything about the Whole 30 program? I know that's something that you have a lot of passion about and got you really into the functional medicine arena, I guess I could say.
Yeah, before Whole 30, I was very much like a calorie counter, like calories in, calories out. And ever since Whole 30, it has become more of just eating whole foods for me, to the point where I never count calories anymore. If I'm eating whole foods, I know that I'm doing the right thing. If I'm picking up foods from the grocery store that don't have a label on them or ingredients, I know I'm doing the right thing. And like Lauren said, I was a pumpkin spice latte lover through and through. Did a Whole 30. Fruit has never tasted so sweet after not consuming added sugar for 30 days, and then went to drink a pumpkin spice latte. And I was like, I cannot even have more than a couple sips of this because it's just so overwhelming when you stop consuming the added sugar. It's amazing what happens in those 30 days.
Yeah, for sure. I've had that same experience. I did a Whole 30. I can't remember how many years ago it's been now, but it definitely changes your And I think, you know, even if you don't go as direct as I like completely getting rid of it, but if you do make those big changes, you'll notice that everything does taste sweeter and the natural sweetness in foods will come out. Even like roasting vegetables. I know Lauren talked a little bit about, you know, vegetables and how you cook them, but this is, if you don't like non-starchy vegetables and you're listening to this, like put your vegetables in the oven, put a little olive oil on them and roast them at 400 or 425, maybe even 375 for a while until they're done. And they literally taste like sweet. Like they taste like they're, you know, have a, you know, fruit in there or something. So like broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, even roasted is amazing. So you can get a lot of those phytonutrients from that and it really tastes good. And it's, you can do balsamic vinegar with some of those things and bring out some additional flavors. So, and that's super easy. Like in the winter when there's not a lot of fresh vegetables, I will buy a lot of frozen produce because when you buy frozen produce like broccoli and cauliflower and things like that, they were picked at when they were ripe and then they're frozen. So sometimes those things actually may have more of their nutrients available than things that have been shipped from various countries across the world that are harvesting them at that time. And so, but yeah, I'll just open up that bag of organic frozen broccoli, put it on that tray, pop it in the oven and complement whatever else you're having as your protein. So lots of easy things to do. It doesn't have to be this like gourmet Instapot, five pots on the whatever, you know, you're reading in magazines. And I think that's sometimes, I mean, it's great, you know, all the recipe sites, there's so much information available, which sometimes can be overwhelming to people when they're looking at this site and that site. But sometimes it's just like basic, like let's just have a protein, have some of these vegetables. And I think that's what I love about summer cooking is like, I don't hardly meal plan in the summer as much because we have a CSA and we pick up a bag of vegetables on Tuesdays and then whatever, I might make sure we have protein and meats in the freezer, but we don't necessarily need to like plan out the recipe and make sure we have all these ingredients because we're just eating the vegetables. So I do make sure I've got the big organic olive oil in stock from Costco. We go through that pretty quickly. But speaking of olive oil, you know, we get a lot of questions like what is the best nutrition that I can do for my body? And we'll talk more specifically in various future podcasts about different lifestyle changes from the Institute of Functional Medicine standpoint. There is something called the cardiometabolic diet. We also have sort of a core nutrition plan that we can recommend to patients. And then there's also, you know, some people that have sort of autoimmune or anti-inflammatory detoxification type needs that we might recommend specific foods. But one of the ways of eating that is well studied and generally produces in every study positive effects is called the Mediterranean style diet. And that diet is very similar to what IFM refers to, Institute of Functional Medicine refers to as the cardiometabolic diet, but basically incorporating a ton of these non-starchy vegetables that we're talking about and making sure you have a daily portion of some proteins. So lots of plants, but they still have some fish and poultry and a little bit of red meat is allowed. It's not like completely off the table, but it's definitely not a staple in the Mediterranean diet. But lots of legumes and olive oil and things like that. And so peas, lentils, which are actually no-nos in my house because my daughter is allergic, unfortunately. But for those people that are not, there's lots of good fibers and phytonutrients in those. And so focusing on those things and even just like the olive plant itself, like I said before, like olives are such a powerful anti-inflammatory food, omega-3 fatty acids in there. And the other polyunsaturated fatty acids are so good at reducing inflammation that like supplement companies are trying to like make it into olive extract and sell it. And everyone in our society often wants like that, you know, quick fix and like taking a supplement is easier than changing your diet. Unfortunately, it doesn't always pan out like that because the supplement, you're not getting all of the pieces of the puzzle that that food has to offer. You're just getting bits and pieces here and there. And those things may be helpful for some people and specific needs, but in reality, like the Mediterranean foundation is really, you know, it's well studied for metabolic syndrome and diabetes, and it's been studied for even inflammation and pain syndromes. Even people that have surgeries coming up, if they eat like this, they have better cognition, they have better outcomes for surgeries. And so I think that's crazy, you know, to think that just having this diet and this nutrition support is associated with like fewer infections, shorter hospital stays in some cases. And so it really goes to show, you know, what we were talking about earlier as food is medicine concept, that this is, you know, really important. So any other thoughts, ladies?
So one thing for me, like I always heard the same thing. Oh, the Mediterranean diet is the best diet. And for me, I was like, I don't care about eating hummus all the time. Like that was initially my thought. And I feel like a lot of people have the same misconception that, you know, that particular diet is just all about eating like Greek food or something like right. that, but it's really not, it's truly a whole foods diet. So like Melody said, it's focused on your fruits and vegetables first and foremost, and then a variety of proteins, specifically fish or those healthy fats from your proteins. Those are one of the things that's specially included in there. But for me, the way I like to implement my own version of Mediterranean diet, you can actually eat all types of other cuisines and just kind of, again, focus on the types of food groups that you're putting on your plate. So if you want to eat Asian style food in a Mediterranean pattern, it's just a matter of, instead of having maybe all the noodles or something like that, making more of a stir fry with lots of vegetables in it, right? And then instead of using a particular type of fat or oil when you're cooking that might be more inflammatory, switching it out and doing, you know, maybe steaming it or something like that. So you can still apply the same principles of a Mediterranean diet to all different types of flavors. And so don't let that terminology kind of turn you off and think that you're just going to have to eat one certain way. It's actually very open in terms of all the different foods you can eat on that particular plan.
Yes, yes. Although I could live on Greek food probably for a really long time and be okay. But my son, it's so funny, he's 4 and he will eat hummus on about anything. And I do not know where he got this from because I don't eat that much hummus, but he puts it on his tacos. So like everyone else in the family will use guacamole or salsa, and he gets out this little cup of hummus and puts that on his tacos. So even your Mexican Spanish flair food can have a little hummus on it. So, all right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me. I think this is a really good discussion. I mean, the reason why we are so passionate about this is because of the data behind it and cognition, especially. We know Alzheimer's rates are just growing in our country, a lot related to that metabolic, that we're calling it type 3 diabetes, because there's so much connection between dementia and cognition and metabolic syndrome. And so much of talked about pop a little bit, but you know, the reason why we really hate soda, pop, Coke, whatever you want to call it, is because that inflammation that is created from that high fructose in the liver actually produces fatty liver. And so it's been studied over and over and over again. And when the liver, you know, starts to get overwhelmed with this fructose, it starts depositing fats in the liver. And then that leads to, you know, further insulin resistance, potentially leading to even further damage to the liver and carcin, you know, cancer at some point, or liver failure. And so there's so many reasons besides just the sugar. You know, you think about, okay, it's too much sugar, it's causing weight gain or it's causing this, but you know, what it's doing to the internal organs of our body, plus not to mention the additives and things like bromine and other things that are added to it. So the reason why we're passionate about it is, you know, we really just want to help people feel well and thrive without having to take all kinds of medications. And so many people that, obviously there's life-saving medications that really are important for people, but there's also some that maybe patients wouldn't need if they made these lifestyle changes. And that's really what we're out to help people with. And I know it sounds crazy coming from a team of pharmacists saying, we want you to eat better so you don't need this medication. But it's really truly from our hearts, what we want to do is see people thrive and see people enjoying life and being with one another and not having to worry about, you know, some of these complications of chronic disease. So other last thoughts here. All right. So I'll just put a plug in that if you are out there and you are struggling with chronic symptoms, whether that be bloating, constipation, energy levels, you're struggling with keeping thyroid hormone levels, or even just your menstrual cycle is out of whack and you can't get it back into rhythm and you need help with that, we'd love to help you, because those things are lots of things that we deal with. We focus a lot on gut health and functional medicine, and so much of what we eat, we talk so much about polyphenols and good nutrients. There's There's data there that shows how much that improves your gut health, and your gut is connected to your brain and improves cognitive function and other things. So we really are passionate about that, and you can check us out at farmtotable.life, PharmTotable.life, and click on your state, and you will find all the licensed practitioners in your state that can really help you on that journey to thriving. So thanks so much for joining us tonight, and we'll talk to you guys again soon. Thanks for listening. We're excited you are on your journey with us. Find us online at farmtotable.life, farm with a P, and on Instagram at farmtotableteam. Thanks for listening. We're excited you are on your journey with us. Find us online at farmtotable.life, farm with a P, and on Instagram at farmtotableteam.